Good afternoon. My disclosure, we're broke. We are. We literally had no funding when this entire process began. And one of the things that I want to introduce as I talk about the information, I want to make sure that everyone knows that we had to be creative the entire process. The fact of the matter is, when we decided that men's health was a pertinent issue, we were not looking for men's health to be a pertinent issue. We were actually addressing racial health disparities, and we took a look at some of the conditions in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, medium to large size city of over 500,000. We're getting the final data on this, but it used to be 800,000 people, and we know that we're shrinking. I want to talk to you about how we effectively developed an outcomes-focused collaborative body called the Men's Health Referral Network, beginning with a process that was a work group process. In that process, we created a strategic plan. Out of that came a men's health center, which opened in October of 2009. And then I want to talk to you about marketing strategies that are very low cost, and to be frank with you, they do work. But the key element is this: why men's health? The very first thing we recognized was there were so many people who considered themselves to be caretakers, and they were male. They took care of their children, they took care of their personal business and paid the bills often if they could, and they took care of their wives and significant others. But if you opened up a men's health clinic, nothing. Echoes and tumbleweeds and cobwebs. And the next thing that we figured, let's take a look at what's happening here. So in investigating Milwaukee, Wisconsin, what we at least recognized is no different than our previous presentation. Men represented a huge disparity group. For the most part, it was consistent with the rest of the country. Average life expectancy of the state of Wisconsin is 5 years less for males than for females. We do have a higher birth rate of boys than girls, as far as the ratio goes, but we also have a higher death rate of teenage boys when you compare them to girls, and that's through accidents and homicides, which is major, drownings, risk behavior, and even when men grow up, so to speak, they end up in the jobs that are primarily the most dangerous jobs in around. So what we know is, starting at age 15 through 19, we start seeing the differences. Because up until that point, in Wisconsin, the death rates are the same for males and females. This pattern does not change until 85, and we assume the reason is because there's no men left to die. That information can be found at the Department of Health and Human Services website in Wisconsin. I'm going to go through a couple of our leading causes of death first, just to emphasize this is a very important issue to us. And just like the rest of the country, heart disease is the number one leading cause of death of males. And we are very specific about addressing that as far as it goes with our work group. We also have a lot of other considerations to make in Milwaukee. Milwaukee happens to be a hot spot, so to speak, of sexually transmitted infection. It just so happens that we have large numbers of cases of chlamydia and gonorrhea and syphilis, and in some cases, combined cases, so multiple cases of sexually transmitted infections within certain populations. And it does not make me proud to say that that's happening in Milwaukee, but it certainly does not make me proud to say that we've identified that within the population, our African-American male population is more than 22 times above the average. The other area that we are taking a look at is what's going on with males and mental health. We have our national data. We do not have a really good handle on what's happening on the mental health side in Milwaukee. We're doing our best to collect right now. But we know that regarding this particular issue, men are not discussing prevention, as well as essentially families are not discussing prevention. With mental health, there is uncompensated care, and obviously, we know that it exists because we're seeing high rates of work absenteeism and drug and alcohol abuse, and even that element of increased sexual activity and the STD rates that I was referring to a moment ago, we're associating that with mental health too. So what did we do? Well, let me go backwards and explain this according to the years that these took place, because in 2007, we had absolutely nothing. Going into 2008, we were begging and pleading, saying, this is an important issue. And fortunately, we had organizations such as the Men's Health Network that existed, where the limited amount of resources that we had was coming from that one particular area. So wherever we saw on the Men's Health Network website, we were using that as evidence that we should create something in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And in the process of doing that, I went with a team of people who came from the State Health Department, the State of Wisconsin Health Department, who I'm grateful for their enthusiasm around this. We were trying to ensure that there were going to be strong collaboratives around fatherhood. So not men's health specifically, but fatherhood. And so in a way, it turned out to be a peripheral conversation. Well, what about men's health? You want the fathers to be around, so maybe we need to concentrate on that particular effort. In the process of doing it, we were able to recruit people to the table and talk to them about where did they find the men and what were the men's health priorities. And these individuals came from community-based organizations, they came from some of the clinics, and in some cases, they came from individuals who work with them as independent consultants. That particular group became our men's health work group. The men's health work group spent one full year identifying the data and statistics that were relevant to men's health that had been overlooked, or we try to make as many connections as possible. I'd also like to reference the previous presentation and say that we are going to have a formal Milwaukee, Wisconsin men's health report card because of some of the things that we saw before. We recognized that there were some things we had to include in our vision when we made a strategic plan. One of those things that had to come out of it was, in our implementation, was the development of a work group that had responsibility. The responsibility that seemed to be key was making sure that they were connected to the men after someone saw the men. So outreach wasn't exactly the issue, but it was what was going to happen after they were seen. And so we had in our vision to create a men's health referral network. Now, I know I'm naming this the Kenan Enhanced Services for Men. I'm identifying it as the Kenan Enhanced Services for Men because the Kenan Health Center is the largest sexually transmitted infection center in the state of Wisconsin. So that is where they see the most cases. They see thousands and thousands of cases, primarily male, as evidenced by the data that I was sharing with you before. And what we knew was that if we could find a way to place ourselves at the Kenan Health Center, and it shouldn't have been too difficult. I work for the City of Milwaukee Health Department, and the Kenan Health Center is a community health center through the City of Milwaukee Health Department. Sounds easy, not always as easy as it sounds, though. But we should have been able to at least create an office, some type of space where then we could access the males who were coming in the door. After that, there was a men's health owner's manual that was inspired to tell men, this is exactly who you are and what you do, and this is how your body works. And we created a PowerPoint presentation around that. And it's essentially our traveling roadshow for men's health. And then we have a Google events calendar. Now this started, as I said, a couple of years ago. This is how it began. Now we're starting up with Facebook and with Twitter, but this is how it began with our Google network so that we could identify who were going to be the individuals who were going to be included in our work group and then make sure that they were clear about when our meeting dates were and consistently show up. There was no excuse. Our Kenan Enhanced Men's Health Services includes the priority population, the men who are coming into the sexually transmitted infection clinic, but also we have a tuberculosis clinic in the building and we also have the WIC program. The individuals who are coming into the WIC program are males who are accompanying their wives and partners and are driving them to the building in some cases and are sitting in the hall. So excellent to find in that environment. What we're doing is we're interviewing and enrolling males who need health benefits, which has been very, very easy in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We have an issue that is very significant We are one of the leading cities in poverty, and based on the manner in which the economy is shifting, it looks like that's not going to change for the next few years. Often we were identifying males who had been, displaced from their homes, did not have health insurance, or had limited health insurance. And then we were able to work with our men's health referral network to identify people who needed to see us based on their screening visits, based on whatever occurred in their social service meeting activity. So therefore, if they were part of education groups or anything like that, we were able to bring them into us. Fatherhood programs, we were heavily connected with them and advertised at every fatherhood event that existed in Milwaukee, whether it was a picnic, whether it was a small presentation, we were there. And then we found employment consultants who were connected to individual agencies that we said, if you're working on that project, there's a relationship between that and men's health. Why don't you at least come to the meetings? So we wanted a minor commitment from people. But in the end, we wanted those individuals from that partner network to function as a referral network. The only way that was going to really happen was going to happen if we created memorandums of understanding. So we made a formal document so that they could take it to their executive to say, we are coming to these meetings once a month, and this is what the end result is going to be, starting off with trying to get that strategic plan written. We were successful with demonstrating that we could identify the healthcare needs of males. We presented it to the State Department of Public Health. We received $80,000 as a consolidated contract funding, essentially as a startup for men's health. And I remember making a joke to Jimmy and Scott at the Men's Health Network in Washington, D.C. I said, hey, guys, we just got $80,000. They said, wow, that's more than us. So felt pretty good about that at the time, but I knew we had a lot more work to do. At the beginning, we had 30 local agencies from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And to be frank with you, the very first thing they said was, we have absolutely no idea what we're doing. We're just here because we believe that this is important. But this was often the very first time they had tried to work as a collaborative body and have a plan attached to it that was supposed to have annual goals. It was the very first time many of them had tried it. So we had serious strategic planning, and the City of Milwaukee Health Department offered as much technical assistance as we could in order to not only give them the confidence so that they would follow through and continue with the effort, but also we wanted to make sure that they understood what their roles were. They were the ones who had the men, so we really needed them in this activity. Our community effort meant that we had to get outside of who those males were as individuals. We wanted to start breaking it out so that we included the men, included their families and friends. So it was imperative that if we saw a client, we wanted them to say, take this to your family, take this to a buddy, let somebody know that this exists. And if they have questions, have them call us. So it wasn't just a matter of the individual client staying in contact with us. We talk to people's families on a regular basis now. People's mothers are calling us saying, can you see my son? And we'll say, how old is your son? Well, he lives with me. He's 30. Okay, bring him in, and we'll see him right now. But ultimately, it's up to everybody in the community to take some responsibility to learn and then to act. That's been a very successful strategy for us. Something else that's been very successful. Our men's health work group, in the beginning, never really made a clear distinction between this is a fatherhood group. And we said, okay, fine, you want to call it a fatherhood group, go ahead. But we really wanted to focus on men's health. Annually in October, there is a fatherhood summit that takes place in Milwaukee. The largest one that's taken place brought in over 13,000 males to the summit. Huge task to put together. But just as huge to make sure that there was a men's health message and then men's health activities that were going to go on with it. So my responsibility as the leader and the facilitator of the men's health work group was to assign areas where our work group was going to participate. So we had around the sessions people who would say, you know, we have screening on this floor and this is what we're checking for. And sometimes immediately after an education session, we would walk men out of the education session and say, okay, this is where the STD screenings are. And they went ahead and took the test. Out of the tests in 2009, we're still getting the data from 2010, we found 42 cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea. I mean, chlamydia and gonorrhea together in the same individual. We found 4 positive cases in the same individual, but we did screen positive for 42 cases, and that was very impressive, and we've talked to our state health department about trying to establish something in the future so that we can get funded around that at least. Something else that takes place annually, there is a prostate cancer band that goes to Miller Park where the Milwaukee Brewers play. And for a free prostate screening, you will get 2 free Milwaukee Brewer tickets. Seems well worth it, doesn't it? Take a look at the line, though. That line is a real line. That is not staged. That's not Photoshopped. We have more than 500 men. And the reason I say it's more than 500, it's more than 500 because we know that 500 were screened, but some men left because we couldn't stay there as long as we would have liked. Received the blood test for the PSA, and they also received the digital exam. And out of those cases, we did find 14 positive screenings out of that. I want to give credit, before I continue with that, I want to give credit to the Frederick Hospital in the city of Milwaukee, because the Frederick Hospital system is the group that sponsors the van to come every year. It's a very expensive undertaking. But something else that they do free prostate screenings 5 days a week. So free prostate screenings 5 days a week. What we also do is what's known as it's the family planning waiver, but essentially this is reproductive health care services that is paid through Medicaid for males. If there was a period of time up until very recently, within the last 2 weeks for us, but the age range was between 15 and 44. And I just made a big stink about that because, as you know, this is public health. We talk about policy. And I said, you know, it doesn't make any sense to stop reproductive age for males at 44. I know many men who had children after 44, and I'm sure other people do too. The good news is that policy has now changed. It is now 15 and above as of 2 weeks ago. So next time I talk about this, I'll probably have some different things to share. But the family planning waiver has been extended. This is information about the study behind the family planning waiver. That's something that I did for another report. But what's definitely important about what we are doing right now, we are so concerned about the state of public health right now. We recognize that there is a lot of commentary about doing more with less. And I keep saying, I'm not sure how you're supposed to do more with nothing. The reality is there is no guarantee that we're even going to get funded next year. Second thing that I want to say that has been a part of our effort since 2008, service expansion. Because we knew immediately that men were not going to come into that clinic during traditional work hours. So we needed to have some type of non-traditional work hour activity going on. What we were able to do in the beginning, our clinic was only open 2 half days out of the week. Today, I can say that we're open 5 days a week, so Monday through Friday, not 8 hours a day, though, but on some days, we're open till 7 o'clock with our Kenan Health Center. So we're headed in the right direction. Also, regarding service expansion, yes, we do work collaboratively within our health department program, so we are sharing some of the responsibilities of some of the nurses, nurse practitioners work at the Kenan Health Center, and they're assisting us with getting the males there, and they're also doing some of the health checks. But what I am going to say is there is no way we could have done any of this without the assistance not only of graduate students and PhD candidates and medical students, but also our undergraduates and our high school students. We've had high school students function as interns with doing things such as putting our files together. They're not looking at any client records, of course, but they are the ones who are assisting us with putting out any materials that ultimately might become marketing materials. We now are collecting data in as many areas as we can. We did not use an access database until this year, so we should have a very thorough repository of data starting in 2011. We have a website that has a men's health toolkit attached to it with a campaign that we're starting called Ready, Set, Go. So in other words, we're saying definitely get ready by knowing what your screening schedules are and make sure to have somebody who can assist you with knowing what that screening schedule is, if it's around your birthday or around the new year, and then get set, because you're going to have that person be responsible if you're not going to keep that appointment, and then go. Make sure that whatever you do, you're not only going to be a responsible patient and follow up with your appointments, but you're also going to ask questions. So we have questions attached to that campaign that are saying these are the appropriate questions to ask if you have major health concerns or any social service concerns, as well as if you don't understand what your physician is saying in your appointment, here are some questions to ask and here are some people to call. We also have as many innovative marketing strategies as we can come up with. So, I mean, we've gone on the radio and started off talking about the terrible twos, where we say that men in their teens and 20s are too strong and too healthy to go see somebody, and men in their 30s and 40 are too busy, and men after 50 are too scared. So we're just letting people know as many things we can get out there. We try to use humor as often as possible to make sure that people remember some of our campaign activities. And when we get the opportunity to talk about this and ask questions, I'd be happy to share as much as I can in detail. So thank you very much. I'm Daryl Davidson. That is how you can find me.
Our next speaker. For those of you standing back, there's plenty of seats if folks want to come on in and stand.
Thank you, Daryl, for that wonderful presentation. So what I'm going to do next is introduce our next speaker, Dr. Jean Bonhomme. And after I'm done introducing him, I also have a copy of his presentation that I'll be handing out, in addition to a sign-up sheet if you're interested for the Men's Health Caucus. So I figured some marketing we'll do here as well. That could be innovative to get you to join the Men's Health Caucus. So Dr. Jean Bonhomme is actually on the board of directors for Men's Health Network. He was actually the founder of the National Black Men's Health Network, and he's also an assistant professor at Morehouse School of Medicine. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Bonhomme.